Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 12th on the West Coast, now April the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com on this lucky day, the 13th. It is for us. We don't have to see it as an unlucky day. Lots to talk about, but before we really get into anything heavy here, I want to give a shout-out to a group of people that have been very devoted fans of this show and listen every night and actually help us get the word out further than you can imagine. Let me just say it that way. And I'm going to give a shout-out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Crenshaw, Sheila, Sylvia, Zachariah, Jelaya, and a new listener, I'm told, J-Boy. J-Boy's been listening in and really likes the show. So, J-Boy, I hope I get to meet you sometime. Also, I want to thank all the people who have been sending emails about the recent shows that we've been doing for the past few weeks. Yes, we have sort of moved up several notches in terms of revealing some truths that have been hidden for many, many years. I've had several people mention the fact that they feel that we're going to have to rewrite the history books, and I agree. In fact, I think I'm doing that to an extent, as well as many of the guests that come on this show. And we're not interested in causing you to believe anything. We're bringing forth knowledge and out of our experience, out of our convictions, that things are different from what we were taught. Things are different from what we're told. What is going on is exactly the opposite of what we're being told, whether it's through officialdom or through the mainstream propaganda media. We are telling you the truth on the alternative networks, certainly on Evident Footprints. And if that were not so, they wouldn't send their minions out after us to try to discredit us, to try to discredit our character or our work. The truth is what it is, and it can stand on its own two feet. Doesn't need me, doesn't need you, it just is. And that's the one thing that they cannot change. They can try to cause you to believe in something. I remember that word believe consists of two words, be and lie. Be lie. And right there you have it. Now, there is a proper use, I feel, of the word believe if you're speaking of a preponderance of evidence that leads you to conclude that something is so because it is in the realm of your experience, not because someone told you it's so, but that you yourself prove to yourself that it is true. The things that I write in my research, and I can tell you that I blow my own mind when I discover the truth. It's how to connect the dots and how to bring it forth into a concise and understandable way that is the most difficult part of it, because it's very chaotic what is going on. History is actually chaos described to you like a fairy tale. And if you've experienced certain events in history and then read the accounts in the history books, you yourself, as a witness, an eyewitness to those events, know that the history books lie. They lie about the wars. They lie about what they're doing to us, especially what they're doing to us in the skies. And we're going to talk about two particular topics that relate to the skies with tonight's guest. He came in onto the show on very, very short notice. Our scheduled guest, Dr. H. Ruat, was indisposed this evening, and we were going to have consistent difficulty with communications. So he sends his best out to all the listeners, and I'm sure that you will appreciate tonight's guest. He came my way via Dr. H. Ruat. He is a polymer chemist, and he is a chemtrail opposition researcher, and his name is Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. I'm very, very pleased to be on your show again and standing in for a great man like Dr. H. Ruat. I don't think I can do that. He knows a whole lot more than I do, but I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show again.
Well, I'm very glad that you could accept my invitation on such short notice. It's been a very hectic day for me, and I'm sure for you and for True. So we're just trying to smooth out the rough edges here. Couple of stories, and I think I'd like to start off with one. I'm not even sure how familiar you are with this topic, but there was a plane crash on the 10th of April, so we're talking just a couple of days ago, that occurred in the Smolensk Severneil Military Airport, or near that airport, in Russia, and a Tupolev or a Tu-154 aircraft that was flying a number of key government officials from Poland crashed after having clipped some trees in fog, and instantly I felt, well, this is a takedown for sure. This is an attack on the Polish government, and among those, we can go into actually who was on that plane, but you can figure the President of the Republic of Poland was there, some military officials, even probably the most powerful person of the National Bank of Poland, the president of that bank, was on that plane. All dead. And the initial report was that 94 people died. This was to be a celebration of a massacre. Now, when I say celebration, I guess maybe a memorial ceremony might be a better description. A massacre that occurred at Katyn about 70 years ago. There were 22,000 Poles massacred by what was called Soviet terrorist operatives at that time. Now, why this would occur is of significance, and I think it ties into my current research on Dwight Eisenhower. It concerns our entry in 1942, January 1st, into the UN, not October 24th, 1945, as advertised. And I think the UN Lend-Lease program, us supplying the Soviets with all of their weaponry, all of their munitions, jets or airplanes, if you will, atomic secrets, as well as the plans to build a nuclear facility, and just about anything you can think of, even treasury plates were given to them. This was documented by Major General George Racy Jordan, who was in charge of UN Depot No. 8 at Newark Airport, and then at Great Falls, Montana, at Gore Field, which eventually became Malmstrom Air Force Base, which they say now is closed. They probably have an underground base there now. And Fairbanks, Alaska. Basically, they didn't pay us back for this. And it was likely the reason why they went after their assets when the Wantagate scheme went underway. No country would allow its economy to be taken down unless there was a long-range plan. And I think we're witnessing that today. What is occurring in the United States today and in other parts of the world is directly related to that unpaid debt and the stealing of those funds, and then the extortion or the blackmail that goes on when they set up missiles like they did around Poland. So this is sort of a tit-for-tat type of strike. Look what we can do. We can put you in a position now where we can create our own kind of government in Poland and have the missiles removed. So you're not threatening us with that. Pay us our money. That's the basic message that's there. Any thoughts on that? Are you familiar with this story? And does what I just said make any sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm familiar. I was, of course, out of town when the crash happened, and I got an immediate glimpse that this was a major takedown by another entity that, in fact, was well. I mean, there are just so many things. I mean, who would have done this? Well, I think you're very accurate in your detail, and there's no time to fill in all the blanks leading up to that, but it just makes very vertical, logical sense, Don. So continue, please.
Well, you know, we could sort of draw another analogy with an event that occurred when they had this pandemic ruse going on about the bird flu and then the swine flu. Do you remember there was a big problem in the Ukraine?
Yes.
We were broadcasting that on virtually every show. I, Drew Raines, Drew Watt, we were doing the research, finding out who was pulling the strings in the background. We brought out the interest that Dr. Henry Nyman had in this whole thing, because he stood to make millions of dollars from licensing ligand technologies. And all of a sudden, the Ukraine was being hit. What people didn't know was that there had been about $1 billion stolen from the central bank of the Ukraine by a Russian operative who fled and went back to Russia. And all of a sudden, the Ukraine starts getting bombed with all kinds of bioweapons. I say bombed, meaning sprayed. There were descriptions of planes flying at night, sort of like what we have going on here in the States.
Right, and there was also the link between with Battelle.
Yes.
And I think Baxter Labs, in fact, had also made that, made a mistake and switched something around, and that was also at that same period. That was the same time with the Ukraine. Then everybody got sick, but the media wouldn't report it over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there were people getting sick, but it wasn't from swine flu. They were spraying something far more sinister in the skies. And we were getting daily updates. Sometimes during the show, we were getting updates from the doctors and nurses there, right there in the Ukraine, describing the number of people that were getting sick. And this was due to the spraying that was occurring. That's the point I want to make, is that this is done by governments or government-type entities. Even international entities like the Illuminati, okay? Certainly, somebody stole $1 billion from that bank. We know that that occurred. That person fled, and it was sort of a warning to say, don't try to find the money. Don't come after him or else. So they created a bunch of other problems, okay? Now, this creates a tremendous amount of fear in the population, of course, causes many people to die or get sick, and it substantiates the lies that they're telling when they can't even identify what the illness is these people are getting sick from, but they certainly weren't getting the swine flu. I can tell you that.
There was an element of hemorrhagic fever as well with that, and the Ebola.
Yes, yes, exactly. So and then they were finding that the lungs were actually filled with dried blood. The lungs were black inside. The systems basically shut down. Respiratory systems, nervous systems, circulatory systems. So people are going to die from those diseases. Now, I'm not saying that this should be going on. Absolutely, this should not ever occur anywhere on this planet. But this is the game that they're playing, and when you follow the money, there's always a large sum of money somewhere looming in the background, isn't there?
Always.
Somebody stands to make it, or somebody stole it. And then you attempt to get to the bottom of who stole it and how they stole it, and then these events occur. Now, this plane crash, you know, we don't know 100% that it wasn't an accident, but I find it rather coincidental, if I may use that word that you hate for me to use, and I hate to use. There are no coincidences, but
no.
The Russians serviced that airplane in December 2009, and it shouldn't have crashed. It shouldn't have crashed even with the fog. A good pilot, especially one that's going to drive the president of a country or fly the president of a country around the world or to other parts of the world, is certainly going to be a qualified pilot.
And they also have automatic navigation equipment comparable to what we have in the United States as well.
Yes, yes, of
course. All military aircraft, in fact, have automatic upgrades to navigations that, in fact, literally take the aircraft over in a fog or whatever. There's no way that, in fact, you can just, like, get lost. And especially when you got a couple of highly skilled instrument-rated pilots, in fact, flying that aircraft, but it's essentially on autopilot. And if you remember way back when, the Ron Brown, Secretary of Commerce, Ron Brown, the Clinton administration, 737 just went right into the side of a mountain down there in Bogota. Gee, I don't know what. And then they found that Ron Brown, in fact, had a 45 military-style slug in the back of his head when they did get to his burnt remains.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That. Yeah, that's something that always happens in a plane crash.
Yeah. Don't mean to be laughing or disrespectful, but no, that's so insane to, in fact, believe stuff like that. But they just keep plopping it out there.
Mm-hmm.
As if the story that they've, in fact, told thus far about this. No, you're on the right track, Don. There's no question in my mind. Or many millions of others. You're on the right track. So, again, please continue.
Well, I just want to comment that certainly this is a warning to the government of the United States for stopping the prosperity funds and giving the Soviet Union their cut of this financial takedown. Well, I say the Soviet Union. I should really be saying Russia, as if the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. Their intent is to recapitulate the Soviet Union again and possibly include Poland in that. So it's a warning to Poland, and it's a warning to the central banking thieves in New York and their cohorts in Washington. No doubt about it. So I just wanted to make that point, and we don't have to dwell on that topic. We probably will never find out the truth about it, but we know enough about the technologies and these practices as to how they're used. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody made some insurance money on it, too, tell you the truth. So,
whatever you can do when everyone is chasing that sign of the serpent, that just always enters the realm of all of this. It's senseless, quite frankly, just absolutely senseless, because it is just something that, in fact, buys things. And if you have all of them, then are you the winner? Well, I don't think so. So I think we can just, in fact, put this right there in that pigeonhole, because I heard some other guys talking on RBN about it today. I heard quite a few people since I've been back here at home. So there's lots of things that are going to be uncovered, and it's all going to come out on these stations, just like yours and RBN and Genesis and just the Jeff Renz. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. We're not taking anything hook, line, and sinker, and especially stories like this. And you'll also note that, in fact, that was in the area of Poland, which is not, it's in the proximity of the very thing that Dr. A. Truot and author Peter Moon was talking about just, 2-3 weeks ago. Same area, the same exact area. Also, in fact, is the same area known to a really grand demon. His name is Zygmunt Brzezinski. Did that ring a bell? So all this stuff just coalesces.
He's the handler of the short-legged Mac Daddy.
There you go.
If I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
Self-admitted, actually. And what you just described is a whole topic in and of itself, but there were these mystical connections that we've alluded to on past shows amongst a number of guests. It's not just you or Dr. Ott. Drew Raines and I have discussed this. I've discussed this with Michael Anthony, numerous guests, and they just keep doing it, you know? The chemtrails. Right. The chemtrails today. We had blue skies in Ohio today, and then all of a sudden, crisscrossing, low altitude, too, much, much lower than normal, and just this incessant crisscrossing over one particular point. I tell you, my level of disgust for what's going on, and that these criminals and liars and thieves could think that they can just explain this away, you know, as contrails, and or say they're not doing it. I mean, how can we be seeing something that they're not doing? If they're not doing it, how are we seeing it? If they're saying we're not spraying anything up there, why is it all of a sudden that these plumes of smoke and debris are appearing in our skies and spreading out until they totally block out the sun? Why is that occurring if they're not doing it?
Well, you know, I took a short trip for family, and I was traveling from Florida coming back up to Ohio. And we noticed yesterday that after you got past Florida, because they had a fairly significant wisp of chemtrails all over the place, plus a moving weather system, Georgia, well, just seems like, gosh, we went through Georgia and there was no chemtrails. There was no chemtrails. I mean, we noticed that there was like a high-altitude reflectance once we got past Chattanooga. And it just seemed like there's a line of debarkation, at least there was today, from Chattanooga south. And, of course, that's the home of the former sustainable guys, you know, the Andy, what's his name's, and Housing Urban Development, D.C. elites. From back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they're all stationed there. And that, in fact, and I just got this most horrible feeling when I went by that place, those places, those areas. And then we got into Tennessee and in Kentucky, and I mean to tell you, they had the sky so blanketed, it was just unreal. And I seen many, 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 too numerous to count, these crisscross patterns, and then there seemed like it would come together at one central focus point, an X,
yes,
if you will. And there was like a great big glob in the sky.
Like spokes in a wheel.
Like spokes in a wheel. You could just see this thing moving. Sometimes it, in fact, had the outline of the Mason's, whatever you call those particular angles as it comes together. Or the pentagram, in fact, was being laid down there just right there in Tennessee. Actually, southern Tennessee, you could definitively see a pentagram, and for those that don't know what a pentagram is, you can't miss it once you see it. And it's massive. It covers a third of the state. I kid you not. That's just how big these things are. But, and you couldn't see the outer fringes of it, but you could tell that that, in fact, was what they were putting. Now, just how weird is that and how wicked is that? Well, I think you don't get more wicked than that, especially when you're writing things in the sky. But it was just the level of I've said many years ago, once you see chemtrails in the air, I said you've got 2 to 4 hours and then you will start getting groundfall from whatever it is. No matter how well they design this, it still always works better in their laboratory than it does in reality. And as they take massive amounts of products, such as some of the chemical compounds that's been named extensively, they're getting those at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, but they're not getting them from land, rail, or air, or boat. They're getting them from the tube. The tube comes direct from places like China, where they manufacture and prepare many of these things, raw bauxite, aluminum, oxides. It just goes on and on and on. And these things, in fact, are shipped. It takes, what, did I hear 30 minutes to get a tube from China to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base underground? That's about it, because they can load these planes as fast as you can think it, and most of these aircraft are not manned. They're unmanned platforms, just as I wrote about in 2003, the methodic demise of an astral Earth. That's exactly what these are. These are aerial platforms. They look just like a 767, but they're just going faster than you can actually follow them through the sky, and they get this brilliant illuminance about them. It's like it was on fire, like a white fire. You can clearly see it, and they just race across the sky and put these things out in volumes. And sometime that day, you're going to be breathing that. And there is a topic of most concern because of the not incidents, but can I call it a pandemic? Because the incidence of upper bronchitis and pneumonia and those types of maladies and infirmaries are just so unbelievable. It's hit our family, and I can tell you, you can't get rid of it. Of course, all the meds, in fact, they prescribed are antibiotics and something to suppress the cough or something like that. It's the same old ticket. And, of course, they can put you on steroids if those don't work. That's just like shooting silicone into your lungs. But all these things, in fact, are designed to inflame. And as I mentioned to you before, quite a while ago, Don, one of their key agents in these particular types of chemtrails are the desiccant variety. They dry the air unbelievably, but they're based on a thing that has ethylene dibromide in it, or methylene dibromide, or a potassium compound. Doesn't make any difference. It's halogenated in some form. And as soon as you, in fact, inhale that, and it contacts any kind of moisture, it's going to form an acid. And that acid, in fact, is going to literally eat the tissue, the upper level of your lungs with it. It's going to take it completely with it. And then, in fact, you're going to be, you'll go from wheezing to coughing where you can't stop, and then blood, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it doesn't seem like there's anything to stop it. And these are the varieties that they, in fact, unloaded all over the entire eastern, midwestern region of the United States just today. Did you see what they're doing out in California and Oregon and Utah? People, I don't know if you would agree with me or not, but wouldn't you call this an attack?
Oh, this is an assault on humanity of the worst
attack.
Kind.
It is. It's an attack.
And
while
and
we're
them,
in fact trying,
you know, for them to lie, literally, they're just lying, you know, that this is even occurring. How stupid do they take people to be?
Did you see the scientist on this video step up and say he didn't think it was, you know, where did they find that person? I don't really think that was a person either. But where did they find someone like that? He's like Gibb, you know, the press secretary. It's the same thing. I mean, stand there with a grin and a sweaty brow and them glasses, and in fact, lie right to your face with a grin. Same thing. So, you know, there are those, in fact, that will say, well, that's it. See, they said they didn't do it. It's just, it's so insane, it's beyond reasoning. But then again, I think I'd ask you before, if you had seen that video, and that by Michael Murphy, excellent, superb video. I really commend him, and Dane Wigington the same way in what they've done with that video. I've seen the one, and I just got back. I'm not certain that I've seen them all yet. But he also sent something about producing another one. And I got the email from, you remember Dr. Ilya Perlingeri, correct? She's written a number of things on the chemtrails, and I met her personally for a while, and a very, very dedicated person, and very, just like everyone else, not certain what the heck we can do to stop this, but we've got to be able to do something. Well, she sent it to me, and she said, would you be interested in participating in that new production? Well, I don't think I can just, in fact, say, well, yeah, but that's not my point. I wrote Michael back, and I said, Michael, listen, I've got a message for you. I wrote the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act. I wrote it in 2003. I updated it in 2008, and it's a demand petition to halt chemtrail spraying at sequential, or whatever you call them, to halt them immediately over the continental North American continent, and that includes Canada. It's a demand petition. It, in fact, has enough specificity to name what they, in fact, cannot ever spray into the atmosphere again. Now, the question is, well, or else what? Well, if it's the voice and the will of the people, Don, it will be heard, and they will stop. I don't care just how insane these people actually are. It doesn't make any difference. They will quit. Because there's too many millions upon millions upon millions of people all over this planet that knows what the reality is about the chemtrails. I've been in this battle for 12 years. I'm not stopping. And I know you, Rosalind Peterson, Clifford Carnicom, and Dane Wing. I mean, the list is just endless of people that are, in fact, have been battling this, have not changed their story. We're not backing down, but we're going to stop this. I propose, in fact, that if it's possible for Mr. Murphy to consider hooking the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act document to possibly one of these videos that he's talking about producing in the future, which is to further awaken more people. My only message is, there's enough of us awake that we've got to do something to stop this. Not one person has, in fact, said a word about what we should do to stop this. I did, and I wrote that document in 2003. And it is available for anybody to look at. It's been around the world. I can't tell you how many times it's came back, but it just doesn't seem to get anywhere because not one congressman, not one senator of this United States will even acknowledge that chemtrails are being sprayed. Not one. Let alone acknowledge that I sent them a document and demand that they stop it. I even sent it to the local county sheriff. And what did they do? Nothing. No matter who, Kucinich, doesn't make any difference. They don't exist. But see, you know, it's just that type of illogical thought that, in fact, is pervasive with that sect. I don't care if they, in fact, are government, fascist, the U.S. Air Force, as I call them, because they don't even deserve that. They don't even deserve to have the titlement of U.S. on it. So if it's Zeta Reticula, if it's the Drax, if it's the reptilians, I don't care who it is. We demand that this be stopped immediately. And if everyone, in fact, would collectively, in fact, voice their will to have a preserved, breathable air column across this planet, we'll have it. But not until we make that demand will they stop. Because they think they've got us. No. Somebody said, well, you know, what we need is one of those, a good friend of mine that I met on the internet with, Barry, yeah, he said, you know, taking something right in the side of one of them KC-135s would just, and all of it would just dump out all over the place, and well, the government would have to respond. Then. Well, no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have to do anything. They can do anything they want. But see, be it as it may, but if they hear the will of the people across this planet at this time, I think we'll have a breathable air column that we can survive. Because, as I've said before, Don, I'm not trying to, in fact, alert people, but they're trying to exterminate humanity. They're trying to exterminate its ability to reproduce by the food, by the bromides that are in the chemtrails that you inhale, and they're using. And this geoengineering thing fits right in the hand, and I read something about that again, and that's exactly right. They want this chemtrails thing to be just common, because that's how they're going to change everything.
Don has dropped. Keep going.
Don's dropped. What? Did I scare you, Don? I'm sorry. Well, anyways. Alrighty. Don, you'll hear this eventually, but I just can't emphasize enough. We need the message to go out that we want them to stop spraying chemtrails, period. And we're not asking. I've got people that are all over the world that, in fact, contact me. I keep in touch with them. And, in fact, they are on the same exact page. There's millions and millions. Yes, there's so many that don't want to understand. They want to continue to deny. and in some macabre way, in fact, say it's just a hoax. Like the air farce says, it's a hoax. And I can tell you, people, just look up in the sky. If you work for government in any capacity whatsoever, you are immediately against this because you work for the gov. And in this case here, you are just part of the problem. The vast majority of the problem, I will add, but you're just part and parcel of a larger problem, which is the corporate fascist NWO and all their minions. And they apparently control everything? Well, maybe they do. Maybe they do. But then again, that's just one, you're speaking of one thing, money. They only control money. And you know what? I've had it with money, the sign of the serpent. I've worked for quite some time in trying to get people, in fact, to take a currency, call it ours, even at the state level, and in fact, rip out that stupid RFID thread out of it and put in a woven gold and silver coinage, if you will, using a special process of vacuum deposition, and in fact, call it gold on board. That is worth the price of its weight in gold. So anyways, I'm just trying to do anything to break out of this vacuum that's called the Matrix. Anyways, Don, you're back.
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. Well, I'm just going on and on and on and on, you know.
Well, thank you. That happens, you see. We're hitting sensitive nerves tonight, aren't we?
Oh, hitting. Hey, listen, I'm going to start dancing. I'm going to do like an E. I'm going to start dancing on him.
Well, I know you want to move to solutions with this whole issue. And,
yeah.
You know, it's one thing for them to say that this is not going on, that this is not occurring. We know it's occurring. And they don't like us to talk about that, because it scores points for the other side. And there are certainly plenty of people who have devoted a good part of their career to studying these things, more joining forces all the time. And this seems to have a UN function. This is obviously being done through the auspices of the UN. The World Bank, I would say, is part of this. Probably even the World Court. And the pharmaceutical companies definitely play a role in this. And all these companies, you mentioned Battelle, for example. Can you think of the companies that manufacture these products that go into these concoctions that they're spraying?
Well, you know, just give me the opportunity to also mention, is anything fair about this? No. I already know, and I've known for a long, long time, that Battelle has a subsidiary company located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, that in fact is a complete fleet. Yeah, hard to say that word late at night. A complete fleet of Gulfstream 9 aerial spray jets with the reversed eductor nozzles that in fact take these spinneret webs that they in fact press out of these aircraft induce this into the air, and in fact when they fall on a populace or anything else, they in fact break into very, very small shards. We're not certain exactly what the effects of it are, but I think we've got a good idea if you look at some of the types of, strange viruses and flus and stuff like that. Well, see, they keep an entire complete library, is what I've been told, of all life forms, bacterial, microbial, fungal, you name it. They've got the most massive complete library, along with DuPont, which has all the DNA typing, the typing of all DNA, which is directly concurrent with everything else. So, yeah, this is one great, big, huge control corporation. Even though they've got these subsidiaries and these splits, and so they're all doing work. They're all doing things. But it's starting to catch up with them because we're ahead of where they're at, and they're starting to fumble the ball. Now, you've seen that yourself. We've talked about this. They're starting to fumble things, and I think that's why they've got this attack on that we've seen just in the last few days over here in this section of the woods. if you know, we've, and they're starting to screw things up. They can't even get those aircraft to fly who have no pilots on them because they can't handle the load from the computer. And you know what I think going on? Those magnetic storms that have been talked about rarely, but tying that directly into what that computer in Belgium is doing in trying to keep up with the overload of the orders coming in from NOAA, our NOAA and NASA, on how, what weather patterns, how things are supposed to change, and also to their earthquake machines out there with their scalar energy weapons. Yeah, it, all this is creating a real task, if you will, for a mainframe central computer. And I know they got more than one, but it's really causing a load because you know where that's at. That's in Belgium, and that, in fact, is very, very in the proximity of this magnetic solar storm that's been caused by all these other things. Didn't you mention also that there's something going off the coast of Brazil in an email I read here the other night?
Yeah. You know, there is an indication that there is a large hole off the coast of Brazil, which is basically indicative of a changing magnetic field or an absence of a magnetic field in that area, as if the magnetism of the planet is shifting. Now, I'm not saying that it's a polar shift per se, but that there is some anomaly going on where certainly the magnetic readings that should be there are not. Now, I don't know what the cause of that is, but I would venture to guess that there's some technology that's being experimented on that area. And again, it would tie into money. It would tie into that Brazilian plane crash, which was sort of blackmail to get Brazil to put $1 trillion into kickstarting this bogus economy that, you know, we're talking about putting money into funding derivatives and hedge funds so that these central banks and these brokerage houses that know what the game is, they know exactly what the next move is going to be, can place their put options on a segment of business to fail, or they can steal public property and privatize it and then create all these fictional accounts and put the money in offshore accounts. So they were seeking money from Brazil. It's follow the money. Why is this occurring? Is it occurring because the Earth has to go through these changes, or are these just sadistic methods of using these new technologies for purposes of extortion and blackmail?
Well, sadistic methods of killing would be more appropriate, I believe.
Well, even that. I mean, imagine what it's doing. We tend to think of the people first, but imagine what it's doing to the ecology, number one. These people have done everything they can to destroy water and food and nature and humanity.
And air. Don't forget air.
And the air, of course. But, I mean, it's all directed to the major populace of the planet. On the surface, I'm speaking about. I'm not talking about the cave dwellers.
Right. Oh, no, they're... The vastness of the underground is something that you, even when you're with somebody and they're asking you about it, you just can't possibly catch them up fast enough on how extensive and porous certain regions, if not the vast majority of this planet, actually are. I just equate it to like a big hive. And one of these days it's going to just be a burnout hive, because I assure you those underground are hivers. That is, in fact, they're just as about, in any way you want to define wickedness, they fit that bill to a T. I mean, you can't get any more wicked than somebody, in fact, who worships Satan, can you? There's nothing more wicked than that. But that's what these beings do. That's, in fact, whom they encounter in life. And I believe the killing, especially like with the earthquake, is to capture souls. And because if you don't know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of all men on this earth, If you don't know that, if you've never been told that, but you get killed in an earthquake in Haiti, and you've been worshiping, let's just say, some form of voodoo or some other type of ungodliness, as what we in fact know, that God is the magnificent creator of all things in the universe, and there's only one. But if they didn't know that Jesus Christ existed, because they hadn't heard, then what was it, 300 and some thousand lives instantly just vanish, but their souls were harvested. I believe that's what's going on, and I have sent repeated, I guess, warnings to our friends in the Philippines, because they are also a target, especially Guam. But see, the word is getting around about the orgone accumulators, and it just putting these accumulators together, just individuals, and just putting them, and it creates these massive, huge magnetic vortices. But it's based on orgone. It's amplified by this energy field, and in the ground, it causes to the rock and the substratum what I've called a enhanced magnetic cohesion. It helps the rock hold itself together. It also deflects electromagnetically generated scalar wave. It in fact deflects all that's coming from that inferotomy. It deflects every bit of that, because electromagnetic will be neutralized or deflected every single time by a natural magnetic force. Electromagnetic is something man came up with. Natural magnetism is something that God created. And in fact, it trumps it every single time. And you know, Don, I think that that word is getting around the globe very handedly, because we're not making a big deal of it. We're not selling anything. We're just telling people, well, you know, here's how you put it together, but just pass it on. Don't charge them any money. Just pass it on.
Yes.
And that's working. And that's working.
You touched upon two points. You mentioned Guam. Have you heard Congressman Hank Johnson's comments about Guam?
Yes, I think that that was the Habinger. I think that that was, in fact, let's just say, the warning, if you will. Because he brought the name up. And he, in fact, talked about total devastation by, what was it, capsizing?
Well, yeah, he was afraid because they're going
what
to put...
What is this man on? What kind of drugs are this? I can tell you, it's nothing. Well, it could be, in fact, be strictly prescription drugs, but I think there's got to be something else mixed in there, too. I know his health's not good either. I mean, I got sort of a bio on him a couple weeks ago on some other show I was listening to. There's no question in my mind that it was, in fact, he was put there to mouth these words and act like he did and behave, and he's a U.S. congressman. How did this being become a U.S. congressman? But nonetheless, I believe that, in fact, was foretold to say the word Guam, and then let's say postulate or speculate that it could capsize. If there's, with just a 5,000 more people, they think it could tip over, capsize. Well,
yeah, then he implied anyway. That sending 25,000 people from one part of the planet to another would increase global warming on top of it. Forget about the plant, the island tipping and capsizing.
No, I doubt if he's got any brain at all. I don't think he's just using part of his brain. I don't think he has any brain at all. I think he was just mouthing it. You know, he's one of those sorry souls that, in fact, has no brain or has nothing that he, in fact, can do on his own, because his heart's all gone. It's not there anymore. So this is really just a soulless being. But I think that that was the Habinger. So I've told my friends over in the Philippines, and they've got a lot of people over in Guam, that they're in fact doing a lot of make ready of these accumulators, because we believe they work, because it's not patented. It's not something that somebody came up with and, well, you got to read my book or you got to buy this stuff. No, we'll tell you exactly what to do. Just put these together. But it's not because we believe they work. It's because we know they work.
That's what I was just going to say. Do you mind if I play the congressman's comments for those that may not have heard them?
Certainly.
You do mind or you don't
mind? No, please play it. No, please.
Okay.
I was kind of going from memory there, you know, and I go ahead. Please do.
This is for those that may not have heard this. This is Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson from the state of Georgia addressing the Navy Admiral who is apprising him of what is involved in moving 8,000 Marines. By the way, they allude to the fact that they're going to send about 17,000 dependents along with those 8,000 Marines. And we had a Marine on this show last Thursday, Drew Malone Raines III, who said the Marines don't take their dependents with them. So who are these other 17,000 people that they're alluding to? Anyway, here's the clip.
Now, this is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things, and I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance to Pacific Command, Guam is vital to this decision.
Well, there you have it. and we got the obligatory global warming comment in there. I guess the environment now consists of the coral reefs. What about the land? What about the trees?
Can I interject something, Don?
Sure, sure.
Didn't that sound like an order?
Oh, absolutely.
He was, in fact, grasping for specificity of the dimensions of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Its location is already known, but he was talking about square miles, populace. To me, that sounded like an order.
Mm-hmm.
He was ordering something, and I won't take that back.
Yes. Well, it's 209 square miles, the whole island, in fact. they easily could have had that information. It not that that even matters. I mean, if you want to entertain the possibility of the island tipping over and capsizing, does it matter if it's 1 square mile or 1,000 square miles?
Well, it all depends on what your options are when you're trying to place an earthquake somewhere.
These are the people that vote for the health care bill. These are the people that are spineless when they receive phone calls and letters and faxes and emails from their constituents complaining about the chemtrail spraying and the other obscenities that occur.
These are the Henry Waxmans of the world, Don.
Yeah.
These are the Henry... And
the Harry
Reids. Got to get rid of that man.
Or the Harry Reids.
Oh, the Harry Reids. Just, I mean, the list is disgusting, and it's so long we don't have time for it tonight. But, see, I just believe that as the more we talk about stuff like this, and by the way, I was on the Internet last night when we stopped for a while and got on there and just happened to go to NBC4 Live Titan Radar and look for the earthquakes, and, oh, man, there's hardly any earthquakes anywhere. Anywhere. But boy, are they ever active today. And you would think with all these magnetic storms and all these anomalies and stuff like that, well, the earthquake activity would just be rampant, don't you? You know, we've always been told solar flares, in fact, really have an effect on it, even though the magnetosphere is well protected by a once what we used to have called an ozone layer, which we don't have anymore because of the chemtrails and the bashing of holes and poking of holes in the ozone layer for 25 years now, and they blame it on aerosols, but the chlorinated type of aerosols, the chlorofluorocarbons. Well, that was easy to do that. Oh, messed a couple people up selling refrigerants and stuff like that. Oh, but they changed that. But these massive holes that they blow into it with the harps, they always have. Then they've got a crew of people, the mop-up crew, that go in and patch up those holes at the altitude assigned. And there's these huge plumes of magenta that cover the former ozone hole, if you will, as it moves across the across the Earth, and always over in the Scandinavian and the northern latitudes, you know, and those people have been zapped with so much various types of radiation from outer space, it's just unfathomable the type of radiation that they've experienced. And they say, well, look, it's the polar ice caps are melting, and then there's a group that says, no, look, it's the coldest we've ever had. No, they're looking at the wrong thing. Yes, even the Department of Energy, just as of April 2 years ago, in fact, launched a project, and I've still got the information on it. The Department of Energy decided to dust the entire North American in the Arctic Circle with a particular type, what we would call it, a chemtrail, but it was designed to so they could take specific measurements and so on and so forth. I, in fact, contend that, in fact, it was ice melting compound.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't take it back. Because I read their documents, I looked what they were doing. Oh, but we're going to be measuring things. Well, then that's when the crew was all dispatched to show the polar bears swimming and drowning and then ice caps melting, and then, yeah, okay, but it was man-caused, just as all whatever global warming is was caused by the specific heat value of just barium alone. The residual specific heat value of just barium alone is causative of these peaks that we called global warming. Well, at least that's what they got to go to press with back in the late 90s and 2001 up through 2006. They got to go to press with that. Then the whole thing got a huge hole in it in 2009.
Yeah.
And I know that it's just one of those things that you can't not explain away, but it's just something all the time to keep everybody thinking that this Earth, in fact, is going to be doomed by continued inhabitation by man. So, therefore, they're just going to exterminate us. And that's where you and I come in. And I just keep screaming at them, Hoka, hey.
You know, we're almost out of time here. and feel a bit cheated because I didn't get
no, you didn't get to talk very much.
10 minutes of my own show, but it's okay. Things like that happen. I know that there are a lot of people that are interested in exposing this so that the sheeple see what's going on, that people finally look up at the sky and stop believing these lies, stop repeating the lies. It never ceases to amaze me at the ignorance of the general populace. There are plenty out there who know what is going on. People say, what do we do? Well, we have to start raising our voices above the level of the chemtrails and hold them accountable for this. And maybe just ignoring all these things that they're saying is the first step, you know. They pass laws. Let me say this for you and the listeners, that the most recent research I've been doing is going to rewrite history. And I submit that the laws that have been created, I can document this, as far back as 1952, and I can really go before that, but we'll use that as a frame of reference. These laws should all be null and void. I'm not talking about repealing them. I'm talking about flushing them down the toilet, because we have been infiltrated by non-Americans, despite what people want to believe, what they're willing to accept, because they've been brainwashed through the educational system, through the religious system, with the aid of drugs and the propaganda media. And they don't want to give up that comfortable lifestyle of being hypnotized and mind controlled. It's too comfortable to contemplate freeing oneself from that for the average individual. But those of us that are fed up with this have to speak out about it. And that in and of itself will start to affect a change. We have to come up with some solutions as to how we are going to put a stop to this. But their denial of it doesn't stop it from happening.
Right.
While they're denying it, they're doing it. They're doing it with increasing frequency and modifying it. Making the cocktail more dangerous for any living thing. And these are soulless beings doing this. So the spiritual implications of this is of no consequence to them. But this is spiritual warfare. You want to comment on that?
It is spiritual warfare. I've always known that, Don. And I guess maybe that gives me the encouragement just to step up, because you've got loved ones. I have loved ones. We all have parents, grandparents, kids, grandkids, and just people that live next door. And you love them. You love all humans. I mean, people I've never met before, I love them. And that's the one thing that these beings, and these soulless beings, cannot do. They cannot love. So you were talking about the class, let's just say the class that has the money, but they'll deny, and they just keep denying because they don't want anything to change. My message would go out since I was on the road last night, and I look at all these streamlined, just unique coaches. So all those in the coaches tonight, listen up. On your way back and forth to your next gig, you got something to do with the gift that God gave you. Why don't you use it? Why don't you, in fact, at least speak up and speak out and, in fact, demand that your children won't have to, in fact, come down with COPD or one of these other things that they're calling is a childhood disease, asthma, elderly, a sudden onset of asthma. Yeah, you people need to start speaking out. I don't care, you can lead or you can follow or you can just get out of the way. But you need to do something and you need to do it now. So that's all I wanted to say, Donna. I remembered that from last night when I was trying to, in fact, get over my trip. I mean, after looking at that many Gwen Towers with all those clusters of 3, 6, and 9 cylinders on it, and I know what they are. They're not cell towers. They're used for mind control, and I just kept thinking, what if they turned those on all at once? And you know what immediately flipped into my mind? How could we get somebody up here to put aluminum foil around them? Put aluminum foil around them white ones. Would they still work? I'm always thinking that direction. How do you stop this stuff? I don't care who's doing it. I just want it to stop. We'll get to the who's doing it later on. And I'll assure you of that, sir.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate being on your show, too. I really do. I had something to say. It's on my mind. And I can see nothing but a progressive work forward, because that's what you do so well. It's what we're all doing, and we don't stop.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your coming on the show at the last minute and hanging in there and taking over the show for me while we had some technical issues. And I want to let the listeners know that you're going to be on the show next Monday, the 19th, with Dr. H. U. Ott. We're going to have a panel discussion about some of these issues, and contemplate some solutions, and then Lord knows what will have transpired in the next 168 hours. Or 167 hours.
Sharpen your spears.
Yes. In closing, I know you were doing some traveling, so you may have missed the story about the new element that's been discovered.
Oh, really?
Are you familiar with that?
I think I read something of it, but you sent me something. You had a picture of a woman on here that I, in fact, sends me into total disgust and makes my skin crawl. So I guess kind of flipped over and I went on from there. So go ahead, please.
Well, they discovered the densest element in the known universe. And it's been named Pelosium. A major research institution has just announced the discovery of the densest element yet known to science. The new element has been named Pelosium. Pelosium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 24 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 311. These particles are held together by dark forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. The symbol for Pelosium is PU. Pelosium's mass actually increases over time as morons randomly interact with various elements in the atmosphere and become assistant deputy neutrons within the Pelosium molecule, leading to the formation of isotopes. This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that Pelosium is formed whenever morons reach a certain quantity in concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as critical morass. When catalyzed with money, Pelosium activates CNN ad nauseum, an element that radiates orders of magnitude more energy, albeit as incoherent noise, since it has half as many pions, but has twice as many morons as Pelosium. And they're going to add this latest scientific discovery to Chemistry 101 texts.
Oh, what'd you say its molecular weight was?
The atomic mass is 311.
311. Oh, okay. I thought maybe the entire molecular weight, in fact, was 666. So I
well, it's not quite there yet, I guess.
Yeah.
They have to do some more research on that.
I appreciate you bringing that up again. But, no, I'm glad I didn't study that, because, like I said, when it comes to things like that, Don, I just can't laugh. I don't know. It's such sick humor that I just, you know. But anyways, I do appreciate you sending it to me.
All right. Well, we do need a laugh, even though, yes, I guess you could name it anything out of Washington, the District of Criminals, couldn't you? Anyway, I want to thank you. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. And Dr. True said to say hello and thanks for sitting in. And he'll see you next week, if not sooner. I think you appear on his show this week, do you?
Believe I am, yeah. I'm going to be on the show Friday. Looking forward to that. Yeah, looking for. I believe it's Friday, yeah. I don't know, sometimes it'll call and get me on the show this day, but I haven't looked yet. I haven't really sat down to look. I'm also going to be on RJ's show the 15th. Henders?
Mm-hmm.
The morning show, the 15th, the morning of the 15th. So, got a lot to do, a lot of catching up to do. He said he has the morning crowd and he wants me to, like, scare him. When somebody tells me that, there's all sorts of things that goes through my mind. So, I don't think I have to work hard at scaring people, you know. I can smell a denier anymore. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Don, listen, sir, thank you very much, and really love doing your show, and please, sir, just keep on keeping on doing what you do.
Well, you do the same, and we'll do it together. How's that?
All right. You got a deal. Good night.
All right. Have a great evening. So that's it, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. blogtalkradio.com, and on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Want to thank everyone who's carrying this show outside of BBS Radio for doing so, and I understand that it's played various times throughout the day all around the world. We appreciate the new additions to the Wind Talkers Radio Network. Got a new friend down in Venezuela that got to hear my last interview with Drew Malone Rains and had an interesting comment to make about me. Yes, I don't take it from anybody. So nice to have another couple of networks, or stations, I should say, joining the Wind Talkers Radio Network. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight and helping us work through some technical difficulties. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.